Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Social media giant Meta has agreed to a landmark settlement with many states that Facebook and Instagram harm children. We'll get reaction from New Jersey and New York authorities.
I'm proud of the work we've done so far to hold them accountable. There's more work to be done.
We'll hear from New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver after a federal appeals court this week largely rejected her bid to have criminal charges against her thrown out.
I'm confident and I'm, 100% pledged that we will not stop fighting. This is not the end of the road for us.
And I'll have highlights of a recent chat with Antonio McLendon, the father of jazz singing sensation Samara Joy.
It was like, if you want to know if a person is a McLendon, just give them a mic, from the time they're born, put a mic in their hand. That is an incredible gift that we don't take lightly.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. The social media giant Meta and states suing it this week agreed to settle a landmark federal child safety lawsuit in a move that states' attorneys general hope will be a turning point for youth safety on social media platforms. New Jersey, California, Colorado, and Kentucky represented a larger group of states that alleged in the suit that Meta designed its apps, Facebook and Instagram, to be addictive to kids and knew about the risks those platforms posed, but hid that information from the public. This is New Jersey Attorney General Jennifer Davenport.
Today we're announcing a landmark victory for parents and young people everywhere. We took on Meta, and subject to court approval, they've agreed to our demands. Stronger safety features, ongoing oversight, accountability, including a settlement of up to $17.1 billion, including $525 million for New Jersey. I'm proud of the work we've done so far to hold them accountable. There's more work to be done. This is the era of holding big tech accountable.
In addition to claims that Meta broke state consumer protection laws, the states accused Meta of violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act by collecting data about children under the age of 13. Meta has a policy of not allowing kids under 13 on its platforms, but some skirt the rule by registering with false birth dates. New York Attorney General Letitia James also weighed in on the settlement.
I think the two-hour limit will address a lot of the harms. I think the fact that they will no longer have access to content that is not suitable for young people. I think the fact that we've limited the ability of predators to prey upon children is really critically important. And if we get industry-wide agreement with the other social media platforms, it will go a long way to address the harms that we are seeing amongst young people.
The settlement requires Meta to pay up to $17 billion in penalties to the states over 10 years and to make significant changes to how its platforms operate so that they are safer for minors. Meta's chief legal officer, C.J. Mahoney, said in a statement that the framework was groundbreaking and will empower parents to easily manage how their children access their platforms. But its success, he says, depends on all other social media platforms following Meta's lead. He said making an explicit call for TikTok and YouTube to implement this same framework. The chaos outside the Immigration Detention Center in Newark, known as Delaney Hall, on May 9th of last year, continues to make headlines. On that day, Newark Mayor Raz Baraka was arrested by federal agents as Congresswoman LaMonica McIver and two other members of Congress were on site to conduct an oversight inspection of the facility. A melee occurred as federal agents moved to arrest Mayor Baraka, who was eventually released. Agents did not arrest Congresswoman McIver that day, but she is facing criminal charges as a result of a confrontation with the agents. The federal indictment includes charges of assaulting, resisting, impeding, and interfering with federal immigration officers. The Congresswoman pleaded not guilty to the charges. A federal appeals court on Wednesday largely rejected her bid to have those criminal charges against her thrown out, ruling that two of the three counts she faces over the confrontation are not shielded by congressional immunity. In a 49-page filing, a divided three-judge U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals panel affirmed a lower court's decision that allowed prosecutors to proceed on the first two counts of the indictment, which accused the representative of striking and grabbing federal agents outside Delaney Hall in May of 2025. The court sent the third count back to the lower court for further review. McIver, a Democrat who represents the 10th District, had argued the constitutional speech or debate clause, which shields lawmakers from prosecution for legislative acts, protected her conduct that day. But the majority's ruling said McIver's physical contact with agents was, quote, ambiguously non-legislative. Congresswoman McIver held a virtual news conference on Thursday alongside her attorney, Paul Fishman, to talk about the case and this week's court decision.
You know, we really truly believe that the court got it wrong. It's obvious not the, you know, outcome we were looking for. And while I am extremely frustrated and I am extremely tired, probably because I'm 8 months pregnant as well, I'm confident and I'm, you know, 100% pledged that we will not stop fighting. This is not the end of the road for us. And as Paul mentioned, this decision truly threatens our democracy. It chills oversight and congressional authority and emboldens the outreach of this administration that we've already seen stretch so far beyond we could ever imagine. As I've been saying, many of you have heard me say it over and over again, I am not going to be intimidated out of doing my job. I'm not going to be intimidated to keep fighting. And that is exactly what I'm going to continue to do. I'm not going to fold to this administration, and I'm going to continue showing up, doing my job, you know, conducting oversight and doing the job that the people of the 10th Congressional District have elected me to do. And so that is what I've been doing every single day since last May and before that, and nothing is going to change that.
Paul Fishman, the former U.S. attorney for New Jersey, says his team is evaluating all possible steps in the case. He stresses they are not afraid to try the case. He says if they do try it, the congresswoman is not guilty and they will win that trial.
But what this is a fight first for Congresswoman McIver and every other member of the House of Representatives of the United States Senate who could be targeted by this administration for speaking out, for conducting oversight of the executive branch, and for the executive branch then to engage in conduct that causes someone like her to go through this terrible ordeal of having to think about the prospect of going to trial, potentially being sentenced, all of those things. And it's designed both to chill her and to chill the other members who will want to engage in and are engaging in exactly the same kind of conduct to hold the executive branch responsible for what they're doing.
Congresswoman McIver received support from Governor Mikey Sherrill this week, says she continues to stand with her friend, and that President Trump is, quote, weaponizing the Department of Justice to target members of Congress simply for doing their jobs. She says that's straight out of his corruption playbook. She says it's a brazen, unlawful abuse of power and a direct attack on congressional oversight. LaMonica McIver is seeking re-election against Republican Carmen Bucco in the 10th District race in November. You're listening to the award-winning WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure of speaking with singer, songwriter, and bass player Antonio McLendon about his family's musical legacy and his relationship with his jazz superstar daughter, Samara Joy. I thought you'd like to hear some of the highlights of that conversation. Antonio, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Good to be here with you.
You and I got a chance to meet recently when Jimmy Jam was performing and had a special evening in New York City. And we sat next to each other, and I found out some interesting things about you and your daughter, Samara. And you told me that she didn't sing jazz when she was young.
No, she didn't. We're traditionally a gospel family, inspirationally founded. I kind of branched out in my early teens, 20s into, you know, R&B and some soul music and stuff like that, but never really jazz in our household. She discovered jazz on her own in high school.
Mind, is it in the places you go, or the people you meet?
You discovered music by playing piano and trombone at the age of seven. And
7 years old.
Unbelievable. I know you lost your dad, who was a tremendous performer as well, just last year at the age of 95. Our condolences go to you, and I know that this legacy has meant so much to the family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My mom and dad, from the time I only know my family singing, from the time I could know myself. You know, they started a choir called the Savettes, or a part of starting a choir called the Savettes, I believe it was the early 50s. And, you know, to have from that beginning, to have my dad still here to see all the blessings going on with my and my daughter's life and in our family's life of music was really incredible.
You can go on YouTube right now and you can see a wonderful video of Goldwire, your dad, singing with you and your daughter, Samara. It's just a wonderful program. And of course, Elder Goldwire McClendon was a runner-up on BET Sunday's Best Season 3.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
At that time.
Wow. And Ruth McClendon, your mom, as you mentioned, founding members of the legendary gospel group, the Savettes Choral Group. So their signature song, by the way, Sunshine Follows Rain, is known throughout the Northeast gospel circuit.
Yeah,
faith has meant a lot to this family, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It's our foundation. It's the our faith in God is what keeps us grounded, keeps us hopeful. You know, it keeps the love that that has bound our family together for years intact. You know.
And speaking of faith, probably your best Christmas present ever came at the age of 10. When something changed the course of your life and your career, a bass guitar. I'm sure you can remember, where was the bass guitar sitting? Was it under the tree? Was it off to the side?
It was between the tree, the piano, and the fireplace. I remember the moment I came downstairs and saw it sitting there. About a year prior to that, gospel legend Andre Crouch, who wasn't really widely known at that time, came to Philadelphia, and I saw him and his band sing and perform. I saw their bass player, a man by the name of Billy Thetford, play. And all I knew is that I wanted to have an afro like his, and I wanted to play bass the way he did.
Wow. And you eventually got to perform with Andre Crouch.
Yeah, that was, I mean, just a wonderful, unexpected thing to happen in my life, just by mutual friends who happened to know Andre Crouch, let him hear a song that we had done together. And Pastor Andre said, wow, I really got to get to know who this guy is singing. You know, his exact words were, you know, this guy sounds like he loves Jesus more than me. So I don't think anybody loves Jesus more than me. So I got to meet this guy.
Oh, that's fabulous. So did you want the bass guitar? Was this a surprise when you got it when you were 10?
Since the time that I had seen Andre Crouch's band perform, I'd been begging for a bass guitar and did not know that I was going to receive it that Christmas. It all began from there. It was over. It was over, as they say. I lived and breathed the bass guitar from the time I woke up to the time I used to fall asleep with it in my hands and laying in front of the radio, secretly trying to play R&B music because it wasn't allowed in my parents' house. Secular music, not even a little bit. But I managed to pick up some few pointers from, you know, people like George Benson, who's not a bass player, but that scatting that he does attracted me. So I started doing that with the bass, and Larry Graham and people like that were my influences.
And during your teenage years, you became really well known throughout the Philadelphia area, southern New Jersey and Delaware, you know, playing in churches. But as your career blossomed, you've already mentioned some pretty big names. We're going to mention a few more that you have either played or sang with. And that includes James Ingram, Gladys Knight, and Donna Summer. And Donna Summer's big hit, Let There Be Peace, Mistaken Identity CD. You were a big part of that song. Tell us about that experience.
That all came about through my brother-in-law, actually my sister's brother-in-law, a man by the name of Keith Diamond. Keith Diamond was the gentleman who discovered Billy Ocean. He wrote songs like Caribbean Queen and Suddenly. And when I moved to New York, when I met Keith, he just started pulling me under his wing. And I got to do, I did a lot of demos for him for the artists he was doing songs with. So when he was working with James Ingram, he would have me sing things first to present to James, Gladys Knight. And he pulled me and my family in to do background for a project. He was working with Donna Summer, and I actually got an opportunity to like trade ad-libs at the end with her, which is crazy and super memorable.
Well, I know My Lady Rose is a huge Donna Summer fan, and we have listened, and she has sang many Donna Summer tunes throughout the course of her singing career as well. Very special person in her life. You have really been, you know, with some fantastic people, and along the way, you have displayed your singing talent. I love to hear you sing with Samara. Just some beautiful tunes that people can actually check out on YouTube. The Christmas Song, live at Ardmore Music Hall from 2022. And then Oh Holy Night, live at Vivo. I see the way she looks at you when you're singing. And she is like, this is Dad, but this is somebody who was just singing some just beautiful tunes with me.
Yeah, it's... When I look back at videos of us singing together, just the look in her eye, I keep seeing the little girl who would look at me doing things around the house musically, or you just never forget that look. You know, your kids get older, but I still see five children I have. You know, I have perfect visions of them in my mind as little kids, and that's that look I think about when we're singing together.
Do the kids all like to sing?
All of them. Mm-hmm.
When Samara won Best New Artist in 2023, I mean, jazz performers don't win Best New Artists, you know? And so she was so humble and so shocked in their acceptance speech. Were you in the audience that night?
Oh, yeah. If you panned the camera to me, I was the big guy crying like a baby in the audience.
What did that mean to you?
Oh, man. It meant that all of the years of, you know, my family's history and legacy in music, people got to see it, you know, because we were perfectly happy singing to each other, you know, around Christmas time and Thanksgiving tables. And there was never a thought of this is why we're doing that, but to have the world acknowledge it, you know, I immediately thought of my mother and my grandmother and people in my history who had been singing all their lives and nobody really got a chance. My mother, you get a chance to hear her. Some people are posting like Save That songs online. But my dad's mother, Miss Lavelle Drummond, she was an incredible singer. I remember as a little kid just loving to hear her sing. So people like her that the world didn't get to hear on a large scale, through my daughter, it feels like they're being seen and they're being heard, and their stories are being told, you know.
That's beautiful. When we hear Samara and you sing Christmas songs, mm-hmm. you can feel the faith based in those songs, because you just don't go run of the mill singing a Christmas tune. I mean, there is so much feeling, and where you take these songs, they yeah. go into a little bit of a different stratosphere. They go into the heavens, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. We can't do anything without that influence. As far as me and my family believe, that's the reason we live. We live to display, you know, the love of God through music, the love of family through music. And, you know, there's an old saying that was generated before I was born, but it was like, if you want to know if a person is a McClendon, just give them a mic, you know, from the time they're born, put a mic in their hand. And that is an incredible gift that we don't take lightly. And, we're always giving thanks, no matter what we're singing, Christmas songs or inspirational song. We're always saying thank you to God through those songs. You know?
Do you remember what was one of the first songs you sang as Antonio McClendon that you can remember and meant something to you?
Well, to go back to the actual first song I ever sang, like publicly in church, I was forced to sing it because my mother heard me write a song about a girl that I thought I was in love with at the time. And she said, okay, if you can write a song and sing about this little girl, you can sing about Jesus. So this Sunday, you will be singing in church. Oh. So, and the first song I ever sang publicly in that way was an Andre Crouch song, The Blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
One of the toughest things I had to do in church was I sang at my mom's funeral, and mm-hmm. I know everybody's saying, can you get through it? And mom yeah. and I, we just loved to sing together when I would come visit, you know, and whether mm-hmm. it be church songs or anything. So I said, you know, I had to do this. I had to do this for her. And it was very emotional. Emotion mm-hmm. is a part of the McClendon family when they're singing. And I just love the range that you have when you sing. I mean, you go above Samara when you guys are singing together. You're singing way up there. Where did that range come from?
I think it's a couple of things contribute to it. The singing that I've heard in my household, my dad, my mother, and other influences, and the God-given ability to just interpret songs your own way. When I start singing, I never know where I'm going or whether it's going to be high or low. It's like, it's literally like I think about what I'm singing, I open my mouth, and this comes out that way. It's hardly ever planned to be that way.
I know jazz isn't your forte, but that is exactly what you do as you sing. You are actually interpreting the music in your head, and you're, you know, taking it to different levels as far as how you're feeling that night, just like a jazz musician on stage. So you have that jazz in you, Antonio.
It's in there somewhere. It's in there. You know, the ability to hear, and it's almost like I don't know it until other people or musicians, you know, comment on it. Like, we're like, wow, what made you go there? It's like, I don't know. It felt like the music was taking me there. So that's where I went. So maybe somewhere deep inside, there was a jazz influence that, you know, Samara picked up on.
You talked about the family legacy with your mom and your dad and, you know, and Samara. And if you're a McClendon, you have a mic in your hand. But Just because music is in the house doesn't mean that you're actually going to become a great singer or a great performer. So I think the word you said, God-given ability has something to do with the fact that all of you can be all of you can be performers. Usually there's one, no, I can't sing. That's the, I leave it up to the but all of you have been able, to do this. How about you lately? What are some of the upcoming gigs you have?
Well, I've been blessed with some pretty wonderful people who believe in me as an artist and my music. One of them is a friend of mine from the Atlanta area. His name is Andre Ski Taylor. We've done some music together. Jabby Entertainment, Jabbi Entertainment. We have a song out right now called "Heal the Land," that I wrote. Just talks about how the country needs to come together and what's possible if we all come together.
Whoa. Who's gonna answer the call? And who's gonna be the difference?
Nothing changes in the world.
Nothing changes
unless we change it.
We can't change the
we
world.
We can't change the world.
We can't change the world.
Who made it.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
I've been working with a gentleman from the group that I've loved since the first day I heard them, Take Six. Kristen Dentley is his name. Beautiful songwriter, composer. We're working on some things. And I recorded, I released an album with the band Output Input. I believe it was 2024, we released that album. We're working on some new music. And an incredible writer from the UK, Mr. Mark Love, and his partner, Norval Smith. We're also working on new music. So it's about staying busy. It's about getting the message of love out, no matter the genre for me.
When you're writing, you mentioned how healing is a part of what we need right now. Do you usually take topics that are current when you're writing, or do you like to go back into history and pull some stuff? Where does the writing process begin for you?
It kind of begins suddenly. It could be in our conversation right now, you'll say something, and in my mind, it'll be like, wow, that sounds like a song. And that's usually where it develops in like daily life, hearing things, hearing people's conversations with my friends and, musical writing and production partners, like, wow, that could be something. That wasn't just an ordinary statement. That's a song. And that's kind of where it comes from.
Who that you haven't performed with, either that person can no longer be with us or can be, who would you like to perform with that you haven't had the opportunity to yet, and why?
A person who I would have liked to, who is no longer here, a couple. Donny Hathaway, Luther Vandross.
I don't get much better than
Can't
that.
get much, can't get much better than that.
I think it was just this past year I spoke to Layla Hathaway, Donnie's daughter, obviously. Luther, I don't know. Is there anybody better that ever could sing? I don't know.
No, when it comes to just originality, interpreting a song, making you feel every single word, there's not too many people you'll find better at that than Luther Vandross.
Do you think you've changed as a singer through the years?
If I can point to a way that I've changed is I think I've just become more determined the older I've gotten to continue and to always be working on something new, to always be present in the music. I'm a very hard critic on myself when it comes to my singing. I think it's paid off for me not ever like kind of taking it easy on myself to always try to be the best representation of myself when I sing.
You can see the entire interview with Antonio McLendon on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.